This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
If you had to rate every single form of success in your life in terms of its importance on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you think of your life experiences? For example, the one who remembers playing basketball, some game they played 10 years ago with their friends, perhaps is going to rate it very low in terms of life importance. The one who's thinking of video games and what it means to succeed or win a match, perhaps it's low in terms of its importance, its degree of impact, its consequences for the rest of your life. When you think of the different forms of worldly success, think about what they mean long term as well. In terms of your identity, in terms of your purpose, in terms of who you are, in terms of your objectives. So for some people today, they may see their income levels and say, Alhamdulillah, I've made it, I'm successful. That Allah has blessed me and I feel that I'm successful. Some people will think of their degree they just attained or they've attained years ago and say, Alhamdulillah, when it comes to education, I'm successful. Some people look at their children the first time they see their child pray on their own or make dua or say something good and they say, Alhamdulillah, I'm raising righteous children, I'm successful. Some people have been striving to get married for a long time. They get married to someone good, compatible, righteous in terms of their impact on the afterlife. And they say, Alhamdulillah, this is a form of success. Some people see the number of problems and diseases linked to bad eating choices, bad lifestyle choices, a lack of activity and exercise. And they say, Alhamdulillah, when it comes to exercise and health, my choices are making me, by Allah's mercy, successful. When you think of success, ultimately, we recognize they are all of different levels of importance. And so many forms of success when it comes to entertainment, what is mubah, as long as it's permissible, would be considered the lowest form of success. Because it's just for a single moment, and it has no impact on one's akhirah, it has no impact on one's life. And when you think of the long-term forms of success, you start to think about what they mean in terms of time, sacrifice. Why did I pursue this thing to begin with? What keeps you going? So the question is, how do we succeed at life? How do we win at life? What does it mean to win at life? And we think of the things that cause people to get out of bed every day. What causes you to have energy and ambition? What drives you? What gives you perseverance? No matter how long it takes, you are committed to a journey, to a process, even if it's every single day, multiple hours a day, that it's a part of who you are and what you're about. So what gets us moving forward towards winning at life? To win at life, no doubt, we can give perhaps a dozen different ways and strategies and all different semantics and language that's used. But to simplify the overall concept of winning at life, we'll give three tips on how to win at life. And I'll summarize them first in 30 seconds and then go into three tips, inshallah ta'ala. Number one, to win at life, you have to know what the criteria for winning is. What does it actually mean to win? Number two, once you know what the criteria are, the definition of real winning, you have to know the outcome. What does it lead to? Why is that so important? So what's the long-term vision? And number three, to win at life and to have a vision then requires what? Perseverance, sabr, and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the resources that He told us about. So let's break these down. Number one, to win at life, you have to know what winning is. There are people who work harder than us, but they are working towards what? Useless things, or immoral things, or prohibited things. There are people who spend a lot of time and sacrifice on the most useless of things. When you're within a certain context, like school, and you have a syllabus that tells you what success is, that's success for that class, for that semester. When you have a degree pathway, these are the courses you need. That's success in terms of attaining the degree. When you're playing chess, for example, winning is not to just throw away all the pieces and say, well, I've won, because that's not part of the metric of success. When you're playing basketball, there are very specific criteria for winning. And so with every context in life, we cannot choose our own desired concept or metrics of success. We have to follow what is laid out for us. And Allah tells us what success is about. The one who created us, the one who gave us purpose, the one who sent a messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who gave us guidance to clarify the most important question, which is why do we exist? What are we here for? What is the greatest potential I have as a human being. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to test you, to see who is best in their conduct, to see who is grateful to the Creator. وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا, He will reward them for their patience with paradise and the parts of paradise like the silk of paradise. Winning at every single type of worldly game or every type of worldly pursuit is useless and insignificant if one chooses to lose at the game of life itself. If one chooses to reject the purpose of life. Because most of the metrics that we'll look at, most of the types of success, they will have very low importance long term. Some more than others. And then you think about the purpose of life and you find what? That's the only thing that matters. Everything builds towards it. Of education and family and school and responsibilities. So the difference is, in life there are many different types of games, but life itself is not a game. Life is not a game. And when we say this, oftentimes people misunderstand. Life is a serious matter of responsibility. The very life that you have is an amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'll give you an example, because sometimes people misunderstand when we say this. A student who is so serious about their program in law school or med school or any other program of the humanities or anything else, because they are serious about their education, they don't sabotage it. They don't cheat on their exams because of the akhirah, because of the academic concern, because of what it leads to. They don't mess around wasting time. They take advantage of the time they have and they study. Another example. Some people, mashallah, they're very serious about the amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them of marriage. So they won't sabotage their marriage. They won't abuse their spouse. They'll learn, how do I deal with conflict resolution? How do we solve our problems? How do we mend our issues? So the husband, the wife, the parents with their children will learn, because they care about that family, what does it take to protect this family? So infidelity has no room. Messing around and flirting with other people, there's no room for that. Messing around in the workplace or on campus, there's no room for that. Why? Because you take your marriage seriously. And you take it seriously because you know it's a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example. Some people, for them, the state of the ummah is so serious. And this is what it is for the believer. Our concerns for every single human being. Every brother and every sister, every mother, every father, every son, every daughter. They are our own. So when they are injured and oppressed and hurt, may Allah protect them, make it easy for them, grant them Jannah. We are affected like it's our own blood, family, and even more. And so the one who takes the matter of the ummah seriously cannot possibly separate their worldly pursuits from the state of the ummah. Cannot possibly separate siyasa from Islam, because it is a part of Islam to care about people's well-being. And likewise, the one who takes their job seriously does not sabotage their work. There are people, mashallah, when it comes to the workplace, whether it's their business or not, they have the highest standards of ihsan. And the Muslim should have ihsan in all of these areas and more. But when we talk about taking life seriously, now from an Islamic perspective, from a theological perspective, it means that you fulfill the responsibility that Allah has given you. It does not mean, as some people misunderstand, that you are always serious-faced, that you never smile, that you never have times of leisure for the sake of Allah, that you never joke around, that you're never seen smiling with the family, being kind to others. No, that's not what it means. Taking life seriously is taking life with its responsibility. But the Prophet ﷺ was kind, was warm, was someone who was very receptive. The Prophet ﷺ, they found it to be so easy to be around him. They found his presence very comforting, alayhi salatu wasalam. But also, he did not take life as a game. The Prophet ﷺ exemplified what it means. And that means what? In our character, it means in our rituals, our ibadat. It means in terms of our health, mentally, physically, spiritually. It means taking care of your responsibilities, your education, your family. And so, in short, if you want to win at life, you have to always go back to the true definition of winning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the criteria so we are not chasing the wrong things or wasting all of our energy on low impact things. Go for the thing that is most significant. The true criteria of success is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us. Number two, to win at life, once we know the definition of real success, we go to school, we go to work, we take care of everyday responsibilities, we take care of our children, our families, we volunteer. But then you think, what does it lead to? I know what Allah told me is the purpose of life, that's success. But what does it lead to? What's the outcome? In the business world, oftentimes, if you want a project to be managed really well, you start with a logic model. And the logic model has at the very end of it what you're starting with, the most important thing. It's connected to your vision. What is the most important thing? What's the long-term outcome? What does all of this project lead to? What is my nonprofit about? What is this business about? So you link your vision, your mission, the thing that you're aiming for, with the things that you actually want, the real outcomes. And then you work your way backwards. Long term, short term, what is the output? What are my resources? And so if you think of your idea of success when it comes to life and the afterlife, you recognize what? You have to always reflect on what it leads to. Jannah, the pleasure of Allah. And the pleasure of Allah is something you experience here and you're not waiting for the afterlife for. So you have it here and the believers have it in the afterlife. And some scholars said the one who does not experience the Jannah of this world, meaning a connection with Allah, the submission to Allah in this world, will not experience in the next life, meaning they rejected Allah in this world, so they rejected the paradise of both worlds. The final destination that we talk about, we want to make sure to simplify as follows. It's your destination. That's what you're looking for. If you took a step back and looked at your life, all your goals and everything that led up to this moment, hopefully you're thinking Allah's pleasure and paradise, that's all that I want at the end of the day. If I have that, I'm successful. To work your way backwards to this world, you look at your goals and you say, every decision I make today is linked to the destination of tomorrow. The decisions of today are linked to the destinations of tomorrow. In this life, but especially in the afterlife. So your decision to pray every day, your decision to be kind to others, your decision to learn, your decision to value your time and your health, it's all linked to the final destination of Jannah. Your decision to sacrifice for your family and to raise your children righteously, your decision to learn, amal and ilm, constantly knowledge and action, it's all linked to your final destination. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us who the real winners are after all that they've gone through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنِّي جَزَيْتُهُمُ الْيَوْمَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ I have rewarded them, the believers, because of their perseverance. They are the true winners. أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the winners. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ Whoever is taken away, protected from the fire, وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ And entered into paradise, has won. That is the summary of what it means to win and the outcome for the believer. What does it lead to? If you think of your final destination every single day, you are more driven. Your ambition increases. Your himmah becomes very high. You're concerned for your afterlife. And when you disconnect from your final destination, the outcome that you really want, that you're created for, what happens? We start to become distracted. We start to become diverted because we have around us in our lives every single day numerous distractions. And it's one of the tests of this world that you constantly go back to the reminder of why you're here and what you want. Sometimes in coaching psychology, they teach people to create a vision board. And so they'll tell them, think of the top 5 to 10 things you want in the next year of your life. And then take a picture of those things and put them on your vision board. And you put it on the wall. And every day you walk by in your home, in your office, wherever you are, you see the things that you're really after. These are the things you're chasing after. And it could be marriage, it could be education, it could be a source of income, it could be happiness, it could be health. So you put the things that you care about. Why do they tell people to have a vision board and to put it up so that you are constantly reminded? And when you put it away, if you hide it, you typed it up in a Word document and it disappeared. What happens after a few weeks? You notice your motivation dipping. You notice your routine is not as consistent. You started off strong seeking ilm. You started off strong reading the Quran. You started off strong attending a gathering. And then you noticed yourself losing that grit and that motivation. Go back to the things that remind you every single day. Meaning what? The Quran, first and foremost. Your dua for Jannah, first and foremost. Think constantly and reflect on what leads to that highest priority outcome. What is it that you really want after all of this is said and done? After your life comes to an end and your soul is leaving your body, what kind of success will really have mattered? And make sure you are constantly connected to it. MashaAllah, we see a lot of students are very driven. They have really high standards in their education, and this is a good thing for our ummah so long as it's connected to the afterlife. So long as it's leading to some kind of benefit to society and community. so long as their intentions are for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so long as they hold on to the principles that ultimately lead to paradise. But when you see this, as many students have started their schools this week, may Allah grant them success. As many students have gone back to campuses, may Allah grant them success. We reflect on the reality that our brothers and sisters in Gaza don't have access to their schools. We reflect on the reality that this is a blessing and a privilege, so take advantage of it. Let that drive you to take advantage of what you're doing. And by the way, the people of Gaza and Palestine in general, when it comes to education, are some of the most educated and intelligent people in the world in terms of their grades and their exams and their scores. As many families are settling down into a new routine because they have children who go to schools, and they are now thinking about the dynamic of the day and the work and the school and all of the routine that they have. A lot of families in Sudan are wondering where the next meal is coming from. A lot of families in Sudan are wondering where is the next attack coming from, while other countries are funding the genocide in Sudan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our brothers and our sisters. As we sit here in the comfort of a masjid with a roof on top of our heads, attending a Friday khutbah, a requirement upon men, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us consistent with what is an obligation. Sometimes we don't really appreciate the Friday khutbahs. We don't appreciate the ability to pray every day in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today in Jenin, in Palestine, for the first time in 22 years, there was no Friday khutbah. For the first time since the second intifada, there was no Friday khutbah. And when you think of this reality, should you perhaps find in yourself a little more gratitude, a little more appreciation for the blessings that we have as believers, living in a country that we know is responsible as far as the government goes for a lot of the atrocities and injustices all across the world. So it's not just that Palestine is on fire. It's not just that Al-Aqsa is being threatened every single day. It's not just Sudan and East Turkestan. It's the reality that when you see what's happening around the world, it should drive you to have an ambition to use your responsibilities, to use your privileges, your education, your work, and most importantly, your time, to sacrifice for the sake of Allah, to volunteer for causes, to be present in the masajid more often, to support local initiatives as well that will better the world in some way. And this is what it means to have ambition, that we are not slow to the causes of nobility and the causes of goodness, but rather we are fast to do what is pleasing to Allah, and we have barriers between us and the acts and the tricks of shaitan. May Allah protect us all. Allahumma ameen. So number one is to know what real winning is. Number two is to know what it leads to. What is the outcome? Have a vision. Include it on your vision board. Include it in your daily reminders. Include it in your daily dua. Oh Allah, grant me the ultimate success. Oh Allah, grant me paradise. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amongst the most repeated dua that he made, was Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Amongst the most frequent dua, one sahabi said, it is the most repeated dua. Oh Allah, grant us goodness in this life, hasana in this world, goodness in the afterlife, and protect us from the punishment of the fire. This dua, two-thirds of it is for the afterlife. The majority of our thoughts, our concerns, our ambitions, our vision has to be linked to what's happening in the afterlife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. Allahumma ameen. And finally, number three, to win at life. You can know what winning is. You can have ambition and motivation when you're thinking about it. Many people have ambitions. Many people have dreams. Many people fantasize, what does it mean for me to have a successful life in any area of success? But then you need what? You need perseverance. You need sabr. There's no substitution for sabr. There's no alternative to hard work. And we know this. Why? Because sabr, perseverance, and willpower, self-discipline, it's not mentioned one time in the Quran, or even 5 or 10 times. It's mentioned over 100 times in the Quran. Why? Because the one who is regularly connected to the book of Allah is constantly given nourishment, is constantly given a reminder. Would you rather take a penny today or $1 trillion tomorrow? A drop of water today or an ocean of happiness tomorrow? A crumb today of a dunya or eternal bliss tomorrow? And this is the reality of this world, that you delay your gratification. It's not meant to be the Jannah that some people make it out to be. It's not meant to be the life of just eternal comfort and no work. It's meant to be the life of striving, striving, striving until our last breath. There is a man in the United States. There was a man who was struggling with poverty, severe poverty, for 3 years of his life, sometimes homeless, kicked out from shelter to shelter. And he struggled so bad, he said, I started making bad choices spiritually. I started straying from Allah. I started being angry at my qadr. And he said, subhanAllah, one day, A relative had passed away, and they could not find anyone related to him except for this man. And he inherited almost $7 million, from complete poverty and homelessness to $7 million, if not more than that. He said, I was shocked and in denial at first, and then I broke down in tears. He didn't break down just out of gratitude. He said, I broke down in tears because I was so ungrateful to Allah when I was going through that hardship. Had someone told me around the corner, even if they told me in the beginning of those 3 hard years, around the corner you're going to inherit a lot of money, he said, I would have been content. I would have worked hard. I would have been striving. But I chose to do bad things. I chose to stray from Allah, not realizing delayed gratification, even if it's not meant to be in this world, means that you know your sacrifice is meaningful, because many sacrifices are not. So when you hold on and you hold back and you refrain from sin, when you hold on and you push yourself with energy to pray to Allah, when you hold on and you push yourself to be active and sacrifice some time to volunteer for noble causes, you're doing so because Allah told you Jannah is linked with sabr. وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا إِنِّي جَزَيْتُهُمُ الْيَوْمَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. Paradise is for the one who perseveres. Paradise is for the one who holds on. Paradise is for the one who is reinforced by the reminders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we want comfort and raha in this life, but it's not meant to be a distraction from the afterlife. And this is why when a man came to the great scholar, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, and he asked him this question, مَتَى يَجِدُ الْعَبْدُ طَعْمَ الرَّاحَ. When will a servant find the taste of real comfort, relaxation? Because this world is fluctuating. Nothing of comfort is permanent. He responded back to him, عند أول قدم يضعها في الجنة. When he takes his first step into paradise, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. Sometimes we also have to remember, if we live in a country where we are privileged, or Allah has given you a great source of income, or you have a very comfortable house and neighborhood, may Allah preserve it for you and make you grateful for it. But remember, it's not meant to be an eternal comfort. It's meant to be a vehicle, so you can survive, so you can thrive, so you can do good in this world. It's meant to bring us closer to Allah, not farther away from Him. This life, at times, if you're privileged with more wealth, you have to intentionally choose the simpler options. Intentionally opt for the simpler things. And that is one of the ways to stay disconnected, so that you are not controlled by your desires in your heart. Rather, they are in your hands, so you are controlling them. So sometimes, choose the simpler things as an act of worship. And remember, when you delay your gratification, you're waiting an hour so you'll have what you want rather than give up in the moment. You're waiting all day to break your fast rather than give up in the moment. You're praying qiyamul layl rather than sleeping in the moment. You're sacrificing time or giving charity because your vision is long term. Your focus is the afterlife. You have one life in this world. Live it wisely. Live it with meaning. Live it with purpose. And delayed gratification only comes from knowing why you're sacrificing. Why should I hold on? When the children were given the famous experiment, the marshmallow experiment in Stanford University, when they were told to hold on for 15 minutes and you'll have double the reward, they knew what they were waiting for. And yes, there are some issues with the experiment, but generally, it's an understood concept. Those who hold back their desires now and they sacrifice in the short term for a long-term pleasure generally are more successful in more areas of life, whether it's school or work or anything else. We do this by connecting to Allah. Sincerity, commitment to the process, planning ahead, and de-emphasizing what it means to chase after the low importance, the low significance of desires in this world. And remember, at the end of the day, even while you are planning strategically, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabr is always linked to Allah as well. Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Find your turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your perseverance and in your salah. And salah itself should lead to more perseverance and willpower. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that and grant us happiness and contentment and success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the grateful and forgive us for our shortcomings. Ask Allah for forgiveness. He is the oft-forgiving, the ever-merciful. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.